And this is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and myself, Mimi Rosenberg. Republican health care bill stirs up toxic brew. Oh, yes. In the middle, a cauldron boiling in a dark cave, thunder. Thrice the brinded cat haw meowed. Thrice and once the hedge pig wind harpier cries, "'Tis time, 'tis time. Round about the cauldron go, in the poisoned entrails throw, toad that under cold stone, days and nights has 31 swelted venom sleeping got. Boil, boil, double toil and trouble." Now, wait a minute. That's from Macbeth. Well, yes, it is. And when I think about the Republican health care bill, it comes to mind the cauldron, the thunder, the toxic brew that will destroy our lives when we need real health care. And to discuss real health care, a comprehensive analysis now of the Republican health bill,
we have U.S. Representative Adriano Espaillat from the New York 13th District and Dr. David Himmelstein, M.D., Distinguished Professor of Public Health and Health Policy in the CUNY School of Public Health at Hunter College, and is the co-founder of Physicians for National Healthcare Program, a leading single-payer advocacy organization.
And so is Adriano Espaillat. And I want to start out with our congressman. And first of all, give us a logistical, if you will, a procedural, a lay of the land, why we should be so concerned and why I'm suggesting that it's toxic for our health.
Well, first and foremost, the Congressional Budget Office just came out with their report, their scoring on the bill, which states that 22 million Americans will be left without any insurance. That, in fact, this version of it, the Senate version of this health care act, is meaner than what was even adopted in the House of Representatives. It allows for a sharp Medicaid cut, over close to $800 million in cuts to Medicaid in the first years. 15% of folks that receive Medicaid will be dramatically impacted. It also allows for people with pre-existing conditions to be really hurt, since it allows states to opt out of some of the benefits that are provided by Obamacare, hiking the cost of care for those with pre-existing conditions, having out-of-pocket expenses increase, co-payments increase, and putting it really out of touch of those folks that make very little money. The poor folks are really going to be hurt by this. Those making $24,000 a year will probably face a situation where they won't have any insurance at all. So this is a serious threat to the health care of Americans across the country, and we should reject it as a nation. It is egregious that this is being done to the American people, that a plan is being put in place where 22 million Americans will find themselves kicked out of their health plans. However, they are Senate members that are not Republican senators that are not in agreement with it. We must say also, in fairness, that that unfortunately, that some of them are not in agreement, in disagreement with it because of the harm that it does, but because they feel it does not go far enough. And so, if they do get their act together and they're able to pass this, then it will come back to the House of Representatives. And the changes that are being made in the Senate will require for it to come back to the House of Representatives for final approval.
Dr. Himmelstein, some of the biggest cuts are coming in the area of Medicaid, and especially what the states may do to Medicaid once they get it, and the lack of funding that the federal government is being apportioned to the states. Can we start off talking about that?
Yeah, I mean, there are just massive Medicaid cuts. The Medicaid cuts, according to the Congressional Budget Office, would total $750 billion over the next 10 years. So they're really gutting the Medicaid program. And as a congressman has said, that would mean about 15 million people would lose Medicaid coverage who would otherwise have it if this Republican bill weren't passed. That's a disaster. And just to give a sense of what this means, in the New York area, there are several congressional districts. So we're talking about just an area the size of one congressional district that has about 700,000 people on average. There are several congressional districts where 100,000 people would lose coverage under this Republican bill. We have no way of delivering care to those people that really makes up for that loss of coverage. So you can say, well, we have city hospitals, we have clinics. They're already bankrupt by and large. The city hospital system has a huge deficit already. And we just will not have a way to take care of huge numbers of people if this Republican bill passes.
And as I understand it, in the states, the federal government will not be giving, this will not be an entitlement, but the federal government will be given a certain amount of money, and that once the person runs out of that money, they'll be cut off Medicaid.
Right. Well, since Medicaid was passed in 1965, the deal has been that if more people needed coverage or their care got more expensive, the federal government would chip in a share of that added expense. But this bill says no matter how much it costs, no matter how big the next recession is and how many people fall into poverty, the federal government isn't going to contribute any more. So it says to the states, here's what there is, and tough luck if the needs of the people in your state go up. And that's one of the very mean aspects of this bill, which is, frankly, the most, I would say, the worst health bill we've seen in my professional lifetime, which dates back to the late 1970s.
And Congress member, one of the things that's already been mentioned is that some of the people in the Congress, in the Senate, who were relying on to not cast a vote in favor, actually are more reactionary as to what they want from this bill. So where does this leave us? And put a human face on this. What does this mean for your constituents in an area that has an enormous poverty rate?
District that has a high number of Medicaid recipients. But this is also a dismantlement of programs that would have provided mental health services. Since Obamacare did provide funding for mental health services for drug prevention and treatment for opiated drugs, for maternity care, these are areas that for many years, the funding, particularly mental health, has been spotty, and Obamacare provided a good level of funding to take care of these needs. So this bill will dramatically impact in a negative way my district. And let's be fair about this. This is really also a tax bill. It's much more than just a health care bill. This is a bill that proposes to transfer the biggest transfer of wealth, of money, from working class and middle class Americans back to the rich and the insurance companies in the forms of tax cuts and subsidies. So this is really an egregious act that will put people's health in danger. So if I have Medicaid patients that normally would have gotten a special type of care because of the extra funding that we got through Obamacare, their health would now be in jeopardy. They may not be able to get the quality health care that they're entitled to. They may not be able to get any health care at all. And so the seniors, Obamacare closed the donut hole for them. This will open it up again, and seniors will be strapped for money. So this really hurts working class and middle class Americans across the country. And many states will choose to opt out of their responsibility to provide certain types of health care services, forcing people with pre-existing conditions to pay extremely high premiums and out-of-pocket expenses.
And, of course, this certainly will affect women's reproductive rights issues as well. But what is a poor Democrat, if you will, and now we're saying Democrat large, to do in relationship to this? It could pass. They could have enough gamesmanship to bring on board the Ted Cruzes. What then do the Democrats begin to do in any event in response to this terrible juggernaut that is seeking to pass this onerous legislation?
We got to continue to put the pressure on. We got to, Americans throughout the country should come out and be heard. There will be a massive mobilization in the city of New York for people and by people who will speak out on how this will impact their health. And so we got to continue to push hard to create the narrative out there, to make the narrative that many people will be hurt by it, 22 million people, and we should not stand for it. We're optimistic that perhaps some senators may have goodwill and see this affecting their states in a dramatic way. Some states that are poor and folks are also will be hurt there as well. There are other senators that are opposed to it because they want there to be more cuts and that they want it to be more aggressive. And so those we have very little control over. And in fact, you know, I don't know if they will come to our side, but those that are still being flexible with regards to the needs of their constituents, I think we can approach and try to convince.
Thank you.
And Dr. Himmelstein, in terms of those people who are on the American Care Act exchanges, the Republicans have been saying that the Obamacare is in a death spiral, but it sounds to me as if this bill itself is a death spiral, especially with regard to the abolishment of the individual mandate to purchase health insurance and the effect that has on people who would buy health insurance and also the kind of health insurance they would get.
Well, it's very clear that this bill is an effort to sabotage what would remain of the Affordable Care Act. I mean, it cuts the subsidies for insurance on the exchanges by $424 billion over 10 years. And people who remain getting coverage, and many would lose it, but those who kept coverage through the exchanges would be getting substantially skimpier policies. They would have higher copayments, higher deductibles, worse coverage, and many of them would have coverage in name only. They'd have an insurance policy, but, you know, it wouldn't actually cover them to get the care they need. So it's an assault not just on poor people with Medicaid. It's an assault on working people who are getting subsidies through the exchanges. And as the congressman said, it's a massive transfer of wealth to the wealthy and to insurance companies and drug companies. I mean, there's a $25 billion tax cut in there for drug companies as well. So there's something for all of the donors to the Republican Party. And we've just published today in the Annals of Internal Medicine, one of the most respected medical journals, an article showing this is going to result in thousands of deaths. We reviewed all of the studies that have been done looking at does health insurance save lives, and it's perfectly clear that it does. And we're estimating that about 29,000 people would die each year because of the Republican plan if it's passed in its current form. I might say, you know, I think we need to do much better than the Affordable Care Act. I think that was a very, very inadequate measure. We need something much better than that. But we need to move forward, not backward. We need to go to a Medicare for all single payer kind of program, which could clearly cover everyone and save so much on the insurance company overhead and profits and the bring down drug prices. So it would cover everyone for what we're now spending. And that, to me, is what the Democrats need to have as their response, not to just keep clinging that we can't let the Republicans change the Affordable Care Act, but to have a positive program about what they want to do and what we should do in this nation, which is to cover everyone. 28 million are uninsured. despite the Affordable Care Act, and to upgrade coverage for everyone who has coverage today but has big copayments and deductibles that keep them from getting the care that they need. So we need something better.
And Congressman Adriano Espaillat, your thoughts on that, because actually I know that you do support a single payer or a Medicaid for all system. Talk about that, please.
Well, you know, certainly that is the route to go. The question is, politically, do we have the numbers? And obviously, even the Democratic senators were enticing and trying to convince the Republican senators to come to the table and make Obamacare better, and they refused to. They did this in their own bubble. They did this in half secrecy, and they came out of it. And while they pledged that it would be a better bill than what was agreed upon by the House, it turns out that it's just as ugly and just as bad, and if not worse. And so if we don't have the numbers, we got to continue to pressure. And we must continue to try to convince those one or two senators that may be open to it, because their constituency will be dramatically hurt by it in poor states, for example. And then we get them to shift our way. But I think ultimately a single payer plan is the route to go. And I think that we need to be in some level of majority, whether at the House or in the Senate, to have the political clout and tools to be able to accomplish it. The way we are right now, with a full control of the Republican Party, will be extremely difficult. So we got to continue to put the pressure on.
And Dr. Himmelstein, people say, well, you know, Medicare for all, it's something that is untested. It's maybe worked in foreign countries, and they don't talk about the fact that it's like Medicare here, which everybody is very familiar with and seems to work. And they also say that it's too expensive. Do you want to address those concerns?
Well, I guess the argument that it works in other countries but it can't work here is an argument that we're not as good a country as others, and I actually don't believe that. We know that Medicare runs for about 2.5% overhead. Our private insurance companies take, on average, about 13% overhead. So for every dollar we pay into a private insurance company, we get 87 cents worth of care out of it. And for every dollar we pay into Medicare, we get 98 cents worth of care. So that money is money we need to expand coverage. And it's not just that we're wasting with our ridiculous private insurance system today. By having 1,500 different private insurance plans, we're making hospitals and doctors spend huge amounts of time and money on billing, you know, and instead of paying hospitals the way we pay a fire department, we tell them, you've got a bill for each Band-Aid and aspirin tablet one at a time. And, you know, what that means is if you go to a Canadian hospital, they maybe have two or three people who do the billing for the hospital, and their job is to send bills to Americans who wander across the border. And if you go to a big American hospital, we've got 300, 400, 500 people working in the billing department, not because they're inefficient, but because that's what you have to do to fight with our private insurance plan. So we know if we streamline the financing system, to have a national health insurance program, we could save so much on bureaucracy that would pay for all of the extra care that the uninsured and people who are underinsured today need. So the argument that we can't afford it, I mean, we're spending almost twice per person what Canada does on its healthcare system. And that's just terrible inefficiency. We could have Canada Deluxe, a healthcare system much better than Canada's, if we went to national health insurance. And the same is true, you know, if we compare ourselves to France or Sweden or any other civilized country that has the wealth to do it right. So we could have a terrific healthcare system if we just got the private insurance middlemen out of the middle of the healthcare system, and we could clearly afford it. The Congressional Budget Office in the past has said that single-payer wouldn't increase costs. The General Accounting Government Accounting Office, now GAO, has said that, and several estimates from private consulting firms, including one owned by the biggest insurance company in the country, United Healthcare, they've said, if you look at it, we could afford universal coverage if we went to single payer. So we know we can do it. The only block is political. And I would say, you know, to Democrats who want to get back into power, you can't appeal to people by saying the healthcare system we have today is good enough. You need to propose how you're going to actually address the problems people still have. You need to be proposing bold changes the way Bernie Sanders did, and that's the way the Democrats can get back into power.
Well, that's a challenge for Adriano Espaillat. And Congressman, how do you proceed on the federal level with a single payer, with a Medicare for All bill?
I think there's lots of support. I'm a member of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, and we support that view. I'm also a co-sponsor in the Conyers bill, which proposes the single payer plan. And I agree with the doctor. We cannot continue just to say things are bad. We gotta come forward with plans of our own that are exceptional and that will be embraced by the American people from both sides of the aisle. Because if you're sick, it doesn't really matter whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. You're sick. You want to take care of your illness. So that's our task, and I think we're working in that direction. But in the meantime, right now, we're trying to hold the ground. We're trying to prevent a total meltdown of what we saw as a plan that could at least brought some relief to families across the country, Obamacare. And so a total dismantlement of that will be catastrophic.
And so that I don't have to come back and talk about the whole process as double toil and trouble, of fire burn, cauldron bubble, which seems like how it might have all been organized in secret. Is there a bill that we need to support, Congressman?
Well, I support the Conyers bill, which calls for a single-payer plan, and I think everybody should line up behind that particular bill and push for it now and for the future.
And I know that Dr. David Himmelstein has been organizing on this and is going to continue to do so. And I'd like to thank our U.S. Representative Adriano Espaillat from the 13th Congressional District and Dr. David Himmelstein, who has been on the case and really knows a prescription for keeping us healthy. Single payer, Medicare for All. Thank you both for joining us at this very difficult time.
Thank you so much.
I have a dream.
Healthcare.
One day.
Justice. Healthcare. Justice.
America of the people. America by the people. America for the people. Which people are you talking about? Are you talking about the wealthy with the means to stay healthy while 47 million go without? No doubt. We need a revolution. It's time for a brand new healthcare solution. Sing it on behalf of the uninsured, because I believe it's so absurd for America, the so-called greatest nation, to be in a healthcare crisis situation.
One day, this nation will rise up.
Justice. Come from the land of milk and honey.
United we stand, divided we fall.
But the healthcare industry's addicted to money.
All for one, not one for all.
47 million in dire straits,
excluded by greed and wealth.
So we got to get united in these states
and put the care back in health.
Come on, y'all. Sing healthcare justice for all. How can you sleep knowing you make promises you never keep? Life is short and talk is cheap. Time has come for you to earn your keep. Money and politics corrupting democracy, creating a hopeless healthcare hypocrisy. It's hard to see beyond your illusion, a misconception, lies and confusion.
Every hill and mountain could be made low, the rough places could be made plain, and the crooked places could be made straight.
America is a melting pot.
Or is this a false accusation
of the have-to-haves and the have-to-have-nots?
We're waiting in anticipation.
Sing up hell like Johnny on the spot
in every other industrialized nation.
So when will we have what we have not got? Talking about a do-or-die situation.
No, we are not satisfied, and we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream.
Healthcare Justice by Charlotte Washington.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.